Today, I want you to turn with me to Proverbs, the 13th chapter. I'm going to read one quick verse. And as you can see, I wrote on the board, the desire. We're going to talk about desire here today. And I'm just going to ask you, while we're reading this, to think about desire in your mind. Help me to define what desire is. You know, desire is your want or your lust. And you can chime in here and tell me what you think desire is. But desire can be good and it can be bad. And we want to start off reading this scripture to show you a very, very good desire that God has prepared for us. Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Did you hear that? Very specific, not any desire, not some desire. It says the desire. The desire. What desire is that? It's the desire that comes from God. Remember in the beginning, God gave man an opportunity to eat of all the trees that were in the garden. The Bible says, carry freely. Now we're going to go to Genesis, the second chapter, but before we do, notice how this scripture starts off. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Now, hope and expectations are really the same thing. So when you have a false expectation, you have a false hope. This is what makes the heart sick. And you'll see through this teaching today, when we're talking about the heart, we're not talking about the physical muscle that's in my chest right here. Jennifer, when we're talking about the heart, what are we talking about? True, but specifically, your heart, your spirit. The heart is the spirit. It's not the physical muscle in your chest. This is why you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. You are a spirit made up body, soul, and spirit. So with everything you have, all your heart, or all you are as a spirit, we're to love God. That's the first and great commandment. But here it says that a false hope, or hope deferred, will make your spirit sick. So what does God have to do? Come and give you a true hope. Come and place a desire in you that's from Him. And this is what God did in the beginning, or I should say, was going to do, except for something set in with Adam and Eve. What was that? Is a lust. Another desire, Carrie. So when you look at desire, I'm not going to write it over here because I want to use the board here today, but desire is lust. It is want. It is why you do what you do. So what am I talking about here? Intent. Christy did a great job last week up here. I listened to her lesson, and she talked about how it's only the Word of God that can discern your thought and the intent of what? Your spirit, right? The heart. And she talked about how God changes things by discerning your thought and discerning your intent. And it's only the Word of God and the Spirit of God that can really change your heart. Why? Scripture says that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So when God makes a change, where is He making the change to? If God is a spirit, is He changing your spirit? Now you should be thankful for that, because we can change things physically. We can cut our hair. We can dress differently. We can, they do all kinds of things with plastic surgery these days and change you. We can gain weight. We can lose weight. We can hire our education, all of those things. But one thing we cannot do is change our spirit. Only God can do that. Only God can, if you want to say it, do heart surgery on your spirit. Spirit surgery, right? So, in Genesis, the second chapter, let me say something in a quick review. A few weeks ago, we talked about being thankful. You know, the scripture says we enter His gates with thanksgiving in our heart. We enter His courts with praise, correct? And we talked about when we come before the presence of God, which is a spirit, What should our spirit be full of? Thankfulness. Thankful for what? For Julie said, for what he's done for us. I want to give you a little different outlook on that. How about if you didn't come to be thankful for what God has done for you, but you came to be thankful for who God is, for who he is. And the praises, most of the time we talk about praising the Lord, we'll raise our hands and say, thank you, Jesus. I love you, God. We shout praises and these things. But have you ever looked at praising the Lord as basically bringing to God what you've experienced in him? In other words, telling God, Lord, you let me experience this. You let me know you in truth. Could it be possible that you're praising him? It absolutely is. So when you're entering his gates with thanksgiving in your heart and you're entering his courts with praise, you're letting God know, I have experienced you. I know who you are now. And you speak those things to God, you are now praising the Lord. See, a true worshiper, and we quote it, is it John 4:24? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. And when you can come and tell God as a spirit, I have experienced your spirit. You are telling God, thank you. You are praising the Lord. And the reason I'm talking about this with you, I've noticed very distinctly, and this is a thought I want to get across to you greatly here today. The more I experience God in the spirit, the greater my desire comes. Recently, I had an experience where I was in Elijah, and I prayed that it rained not on the earth for the span of 3.5 years, and the heavens were shut up. And I was telling this to a very wicked king named Ahab. You guys know Ahab and Jezebel? And one of the most awesome parts about this experience was when I shut up the heavens, and you know the scripture says that it rained not. I understood in the dream that the rain was the word of God. And I was telling the king, you will receive no word of God. God will not talk to you until I say he's going to talk to you again. But the heavens were not shut up to me. I went through and had the experience of being at the Brook of Kidron and drinking the water from the brook and having ravens feed with me with meat and then being sent to a little widow woman. And the little widow woman's child died. And took the child up into a room and prayed and asked God, Lord, bring life back into this child. Put the soul that you gave this child back in him. And God raised him from the dead. And I understood. Yeah, the heavens were shut, but they weren't shut to me. They were shut to a wicked king. And I could ask. So recently we've been talking about, I could ask like the scripture says, seek and ye shall find. Ask. And it shall be given. Knock, and the door shall be opened. Jesus himself said that, correct? So I understood, like in the book of James, how the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And in our last lesson, or our last time together, I emphasized about prayer. So we talked about thanksgiving, and we talked about prayer. And the emphasis on prayer was knowing the will of God. If you know the will of God, then you can ask correctly. And we read in the scriptures, if we ask, we can be confident that he hears us. And if he hears us, what happens? I believe this is 1 John 5:18. If we ask and he hears us, then we can be confident that we have the petitions of our heart. So we're talking about thanksgiving. We're talking about prayer. And now we've brought it to the place we're going to talk about desire. And in desire, again, desire is lust. It's want. It's why you do what you do. Walker, why are you going to school to ultimately, I know, be a teacher, but be a principal?
My intent is to be successful.
Your intent is to be successful. Well, you want to have a good career.
Right.
You want to have a lot of money,
right?
And live comfortably, don't you? So that's a desire of yours.
Right.
Madison, going to school. She's entering into the medical field. She let us know plainly that she's changed her mind of what she was going to be because it only made $200,000 a year. I think she wants to be a nurse anesthetist. That's a tough one to say, but I got it the first time. You know why? $400,000 a year for this occupation. But also in the saying of that, she said, and when I do achieve that goal and I'm successful, she said, I'm going to buy a church. I'm going to make sure that Living Fellowship has a building and a church in Visalia, California, so everybody, as we preach the Word of God, has a place to come and hear the truth that we're speaking. Now, whether that happens or not, I don't know. But my whole point is she has a desire. She has a desire to, like Walker, be successful, to do something good. But in her mind right now is, it's for God. She knows that God has called her to preach the gospel. And she has recently addressed our Sunday school superintendent, Mr. Jim Smith here, and got on board and is teaching the children now. Correct, Jim? So she, yes, she's looking for a good career, and she's looking to be, like Walker said, lucrative in her endeavors. But she's putting God first, at least in her mind. And I say that because we don't know. A lot of times we don't know where a desire comes from. But the old proverb, the proof's in the pudding. You give it enough time, it'll always tell on you, won't it? And sometimes that can be good, and sometimes that can be bad. Now, we look in the Bible, and we see there were times that they lusted, and it wasn't the will of God. We might possibly look at this today, but Israel, when they came out of the wilderness, I believe it's Exodus, the 16th chapter, they began to complain and murmur about God. They actually tempted him, the Bible says, in Psalm 78, in the wilderness. And they told God, are you able? I'm just going to paraphrase it. Are you able to feed us out here? Are you able to furnish a table in the wilderness? Think about that. Questioning God. Asking God. Now, if they're asking, is that not a prayer? Not a good prayer, though, was it? Where did that prayer come from? Their want. Carrie said it, their desire. So the desire that Israel had did not come from God. God had already given them his desire when he did what, Julie? When he proclaimed to them his will. What was his will for them? Did they not pray and say, ask God to deliver them from Egyptian bondage? There were masters set over them to make the brick and their work and all what they were supposed to do. And they were basically slaves in Egypt. They prayed and they asked God, deliver us. Get us out of this Egyptian bondage. Get us out of the control of Pharaoh, which is a type of the devil. And let us be free. Anybody here ever prayed? God, deliver me from the hand of the devil. Get me out of this liar control that only has come to seek, to kill, steal, and destroy. Lord, deliver me. Israel prayed that. You know what the awesome part about their prayer was, Jim? The timing. The timing was God put Abraham's seed or his children in Egyptian bondage for 400 years. When that 400 years was up, guess what desire came in the heart of Israel and God's people? To fulfill the will of God. So they prayed the right prayer. God speaks to them by sending a man named Moses to deliver them from that Egyptian bondage, from what the Bible calls a fiery furnace, Julie. And he proclaims to them not only through the mouth of Moses, but he spoke it himself. His very will for them. And they wouldn't hear it, Julie. Why? Because we had two different desires going at the same time here. God's desire, Israel's desire. God's will, man's will. And in the will of man, Sometimes we'll ask for something, just like when they ask for a quill. Ask for something that is not the best thing for you. God was already feeding them with manna, Travis. Angels' food. The Bible calls it the corn of heaven. It says it's angels' food. He commanded Moses to smite the rock and water would come forth to water them. And none of this was enough for them. Why? Here we start talking about this in depth, or emphatically, I should say, because of lust, which is desire, but it was their lust. They always wanted something else. They continually thought that they needed something different than what God had given to them. Isn't it interesting? You watch relationships, husbands and wives, and you know the old saying, the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. And you get on the other side of the fence, you find out that this grass is grass. It's the same. But this is what happens even in relationships with men and women. You think, I want another. This one doesn't do what I want him or her to do. Correct? I want something else. And of course, what happens? One of them steps out in that covenant of marriage. And what do we have? Adultery, Julie said, but a destroyed relationship. So my point is, be careful what you ask for. It may not be what you need. See, God doesn't give you everything you want. They wrote a song about this, didn't they? But he will supply your needs. He is Jehovah Jireh. God will provide. So understanding the will of God makes all the difference in the world. Now, I'm not encouraging anybody to stay in an abusive relationship and things like that. But be careful. This is the warning here today. Be careful what you ask for. Know the will of God. You know, it's interesting. My wife reminded me within the last month or so that she asked for a husband. And Chrissy, you still believe to this day that God gave me to you? She said, absolutely. Again, be careful what you ask for. No, we have a great relationship. We love one another very much. And it's just like all of you. You can put on this fake face if you want to. But I know that you have problems just like anybody else does. And you know, we have to work together at this. If I give 100% and Christy gives 100%, we'll meet in the middle at about 50-50. Do you see what I'm saying? And but don't get caught in your lust, looking elsewhere, thinking something may be better. And it's funny how we think we know what we need. And we want it for a specific reason, but a lot of times when we get it, just like Israel, you know, God was, I think it's Exodus, the 16th chapter. They ask God, and they complain, and they tempt, and they murmur it against God. Also, I believe it's Numbers 11, somewhere around there. You could look it up yourself. They wanted more than what God has given them, right? Christy, you need a second husband? You pretty satisfied and content where you're at? If that would have been Israel in the wilderness, Michelle, you know what they would have done? They would have made a 12-day journey from Egypt to Canaan, marched right into the promised land, went to a place that flowed with milk and honey, and took the land of the enemy and dwelt there and multiplied and populated and fulfilled the will of God. But what happened, Julie? Tell me the story. Give her that microphone. Let me hear Julie tell this story.
It reminds me of Adam and Eve. Because the Lord said, you have the right to the tree of life. He gave him a right, an entitlement. That's your tree. But then another desire came. It was like he whispered in her ear to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And that's where that was sown. And here goes that other desire. Just like Israel. They added these expectations, Brian. And God never fulfilled it, so they were never thankful. Where did those expectations come from? That other desire, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Their own desire, right, over the desire of God. So it wasn't that God didn't prepare them. It wasn't that God didn't talk to them. He talked to them. He had Moses talk to them. Aaron talked to them. But what happened? When they got out in the wilderness, they began to look back and think they needed something different than what God had given to them. Correct? And the story I was asking you to tell there, Julie. See, watch this. I wanted her to tell one thing. She wanted to tell me another. But it did remind you of Adam and Eve, and we're going to get into that in a few minutes. But Israel, when they came out of the wilderness, almost immediately they began, Mike, to complain. They began to murmur and be rebellious against God. Why? Because in their heart, in their spirit, in their mind, they thought they knew what they needed. But proof's in the pudding. God knew what they needed. And he knew that they needed to go through that wilderness, Walker, and to hunger and to thirst. Why? To prove them. Deuteronomy 8. To humble them. And to see what, Kerry? There you go. To show what was in their spirit. Right? And what was their spirit full of? If he had to humble them, think about it. Pride. And this is also what we could read in the book of James, the fourth chapter. This is also what makes you an adulterer, an adulteress, when you're a friendship, make a friendship with the world. When you think you know what you need over what God needs, you'll make a covenant outside of the covenant that God made with you. And all of this comes forth because of desire. Desire is what I want. Desire is what drives me. Desire is what motivates me to do what I do. So saying that, go with me to Genesis, the second chapter. Julie, where is that where he gave them the right? Verse 16. Let's read 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So was God's desire that man, I mean, was man in the right place here? When God took him and put him in the garden, was God's desire for man to dress this garden and to keep it? So to keep his first estate, Julie, he didn't though, did he? And he had to be driven from the presence of the Lord out of the will of God, out of the place God had prepared for them, a garden, God's garden, called Eden, or paradise. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now we know the story. Adam had a desire to eat of that tree, didn't he? Did he do it? So there was a lust to do something that God said not to do. God gives a commandment. This happens all the time. God gives a commandment, and what does man do with a commandment? Has a desire to do the absolute opposite. How many of you have ever started a diet? And you make up your mind, once, Carrie did one time, you make up your mind, I'm going to put a law on myself. That's what you do, right? Now, a diet doesn't have to be to lose weight. A diet could just be simply to eat healthy. You know, you set yourself on a diet. But how about the diet that you specifically set to lose weight? That food never looked so good, did it? You put a commandment on yourself. And what is the first thing our spirit lusts to do? I want to have what I can't have. Say again, Julie, the little chocolates. There's Julie. She's putting her weaknesses out right now. Little chocolates. Why, Julie? Because they're full of calories and and it's a part of your diet you can't have. So doesn't it get better and more intense? It does. Why? Because of the commandment. So God commanded the man. He told him first, Jennifer, and it is a commandment, that he could freely eat of all the trees of the garden. Now, Walker, somebody find in here where it shows that not only was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil there, there was another tree there. As a matter of fact, there were many, whether you can receive this or not. trees of life there. Do you know as God converts you over to his son, not just being a physical person where you come to an understanding that you're a son of God, that he turns you into a tree of life? So what do you mean a tree? I'm a human being. It's a metaphor. It's a proverb. In the Bible, a tree is a man. Psalms 1, a tree planted by the waters is actually a blessed man. This is why in the Bible it talks about, and the trees clap their hands in the prophets. Because a tree is a representation of a man. So when we begin to fulfill the will of God and know the will of God, and we begin to eat of this tree of life, which really is Jesus, we begin to partake of many things here today. I'm going to write on the board as God revealed unto me what we partake of when we partake of that tree of life. You find it, Walker?
Genesis 2 and 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
So here we have it. Eat or don't eat? The little chocolates, Julie, or the banana? Right? And sometimes you'll go a long time eating good, eating healthy. And then what happens? You know what Jim said? Take the chocolate, melt it down, put it on the banana. Eat them both. You have your cake and your frosting too, huh? That's funny. But my point is our lust. Our desire rises up and we say, I don't care what covenant I've made. I don't care what commandment I've been given or I've put on myself. And this is what Israel did with God. I don't care that it's your will that I eat angels' food and the water that you give me. You know what they wanted, Merle? Quail. Well, they wanted meat. And God rained down quail from heaven. You know the story, don't you? That quail covered the whole face of the earth where they were at. And they gathered it up, Keith, and the Bible says that while the meat was yet in their teeth, they died. So again, second time, be careful what you ask for. You may not always get what you want, but God will provide all of your needs. And sometimes we ask and we receive not. This is James, the fourth chapter, because we ask to consume it upon our own lust. Let me just tell you, if you know the will of God and you're thankful for the will of God, Jennifer, you're not going to be asking for things to consume it upon your lust. Your prayer life is going to come from, I'm thankful, God, that you know what you're doing. I'm thankful that you know my needs. I'm thankful for what you're doing in my life right now. You watch people in church, they'll start off like a fireball, and they're ready to go. Man, they're just ready for do anything for God. A little time comes by and that desire drops off a little. A little more times come by, it drops off even more. Before you know it, another desire has come in and they forgot about God altogether. You don't see them in church anymore. Be careful if you ever take the thought, my desire to serve God is diminishing. It's not diminishing. You're replacing it. You're raising up a different desire. There's a lust that's working in you that's telling you there's something else out there that's greater than the will of God for you. And you know what the problem with that is? Walker said it plainly. It's a lie. There's no, excuse me, there's no greater thing for you that's ever been invented besides the will of God and knowing God in this lifetime. You say, well, what about having all the money in the world? Huh, Ralph? How about if you're a Muslim, having a desire for seven virgins? That's what they say they get in heaven. I'm going to tell you right now, one is enough. You don't need, Saul, you don't believe me? Look at Chrissy's like, watch it. You don't believe me? Ask the most wisest man, king, there was. Who was that? I'm not talking about the King of Kings. I'm talking about a king over Israel, David's son, Solomon. How many wives did Solomon have, Jim? Close. Walker? That's true, but we're breaking it down. Wives? Everybody shouting it out there. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Walker's right. He had 1,000 women. Mike, how would you like to have 1,000 women waiting for you at home? There's a wise man. He's got some wisdom. He said, no, 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 no. On the same token, Lori, how would you like to have 100 of Matt? Oh, my gosh, she choked. I think one good one's enough, don't you? One good one's enough to satisfy our soul. Now, where were we reading at? Let's get back on track here. Oh, this tree of life. Walker read that there were two trees in the garden. One God said it would be good to eat of, and one God said it would be bad to eat of, right? One is a tree of life, and one is a tree of knowledge of good and evil. One, think about the name. Travis, it brings life if you eat of it. What about the other one? God said, when you eat of that one, you're going to die. So, like Joshua said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. What did Adam choose, Jennifer? He chose death over life. Every time we allow a lust, Bryce, or a desire that's in us to rise up and dictate our choices and our thoughts, we're choosing death over life. But let's look at this tree a little bit here. So, it's a big old nice tree. Now, what do you guys know about the tree of life? We know already in Proverbs 13 and 12, didn't it say, when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. So the tree of life is the desire. It's not just a desire. It's not any desire. The Bible says the desire. The desire of what? You'll know by the end of this. Well, what do you know about this tree, Walker? 12 manner of fruit. Let's put this first one right down low here so we can reach it well. I mean, is that six? Six? Wait, six. What else you know about that tree, Walker? It's in the midst of the paradise. It's on both sides of the river. That's how you know plainly. There's more than one. It's just like driving up to Three Rivers here. You're driving with somebody and they say, hey, what kind of tree is that over there? That's an orange tree. There's many orange trees on the drive to Three Rivers, isn't there? But is there many orange trees? There's many trees of life. And be thankful for it because that's what God's making you, a blessed man. A tree that brings forth life that when people eat of your fruit or the words that you speak, they receive life from it too, Lori. And guess what? I just let a secret out for you. That is the will of God for you, Rex, that you become a man that can speak the word of God, that others can receive life from that word. Julie? That's
the wholesome tongue. Because it also says that the tree of life is a wholesome tongue. You're able to speak the words of life and give it to others.
Jesus' words, go back and read in Paul's writings. They're wholesome words. Yeah. And that's what you're saying right there. But there's 12 manner of fruit. What's this first one that's low enough, that's obtainable enough that God, I'm speaking by experience here. You know what fruit, the very first fruit of the tree of life God let me partake of? In my mind was the greatest of all. Lori, he let me know that he loved me above everything else and anything else. It's love. Now you're going, okay, wait a minute. I know Paul has 12 fruits of the Spirit. Are those the fruits that's on the tree? Yeah. And what are they? But I'm going to do something a little bit different here today. Yeah, they're love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, goodness. What else? Long-suffering and faith. What's the other three? I'm glad that you asked. What's the second one that God revealed? Doesn't the Bible say wisdom? is a principal thing. Walker, find me the scripture. The Bible actually calls the tree of life wisdom and understanding. So our third one. Understanding. And I'm going to have to stretch these out a little bit. I didn't plan it so well. You going to find that for me, Walker? These are not in the order after this. The first three are. Doesn't the Bible call wisdom the principal thing? Yeah. It's the first thing, isn't it? So in Proverbs 8, does wisdom say she was with God in the beginning? That she helped form the foundations of the earth? Go read it. It's a powerful chapter. I believe it's Proverbs 8. Maybe somebody can check that for. Proverbs 3, Julie's saying. But brought forth the will of God. So when God created what he created it, why did he create it? Why does God have a creation? He didn't have to have a creation. But in order to be a creator, he did. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did it, Brandon, because he loves himself. He loves what he has created. Now, right here, search your heart. Don't look at without. I'm not talking about your careers. In your spirit. Look at me here today. Walker, in your spirit, what have you created? Be honest. Don't even jump up here like a Pharisee because we'll put it on you today. What have you created in your heart? Do you love everything about you, Taylor? Do you love every thought that you think? No, we don't, do we? There are times we think thoughts that we don't love, but they're there, aren't they? Like what thoughts?
Hatred.
Anger.
Jealousy.
Which can go either way. Even God hated Esau, didn't he? And our God's a jealous God. So it could be good or evil. And basically that's my point, whole point here today. What have you created in your heart? What have you created in your spirit? Now, you can go ahead and say you love everything about you, but I'm going to be a little more honest than that and say that there has been things throughout my life that I'm not happy that I created. But I will say to you that God's the one that searches the heart. And God has come into my heart and into my mind and regenerated my spirit and allowed me to watch his will be performed. This may not be for you, I'm just going to put it out there. But every single thing, Daryl, that I thought was going to make me happy in the beginning, whether it was money or not women, but a woman, you know, a house, all these different things. I'm very thankful for what I have here physically, but that's not what makes me happy. And you know what, Lori? That's not what makes me thankful either. Because it seems like, Brandon, the more you have, the more you have to work for or to keep or to worry about all of it. You know, we go on the vacation. 3 days before I leave, you got to double up your workload, Rex. Cleaning solar panels, working in the pool, doing the yards, doing all these things. You know what for? So you can get those 7 days off, and when you get back, work 3 days harder to get things back in order from when you left. You got to catch back up again. So I'm thankful for what I have, but I'm saying to you, my thankfulness doesn't come from this physical realm. It comes from the things of God. It comes from the things that God has put in my heart, knowing the will of God. I look back at my life when I didn't know what the will of God was, Mike, and man, I searched far and wide to be happy. And I had to be honest with myself. Even having everything that I had, I wasn't happy. But then God came to me and he began to talk to me. And I began to partake of these things that I'm going to write on the board for you. And everything changed. You say, well, you look the same on an outward appearance as you did back then. Yeah, but thank God, God's not looking at mine or your outward appearance. What's God looking at, Lori? For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks where? What he's creating. Your spirit, Travis, in your heart. That's what God's looking at. Now here's another little secret, a little revelation I'm going to let out of the bag for you, okay? The minute you stop seeing as God sees and you start looking on the outward appearance and trying to be happy from a different desire than what God's given you, it can mess you up really bad. Because now you're saying like Israel, I know what I want and I know what I need. Now with Israel, when they complained and murmured enough, what did God do for them? It says he gave them the desires of their heart. Numbers 11, I believe it is. Exodus 16 and Numbers 11, when they died from asking for the meat, the Bible says those that lusted were buried. So this lust took them out of the will of God and destroyed them. Now, what other fruits of the Spirit do we have here, Walker?
Peace.
Joy, love, joy. The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. It's what makes you strong. Peace. What is peace? Doesn't peace pass understanding? God gives us peace. It keeps us. The peace of God keeps us in our heart. Love, joy, peace. One, two, three, five. Another one here? Meekness. Let's get over on the other side of the tree. What do you got here, Walker? Patience. Long suffering. No, you're right. That's what it says. Patience. How many of you need patience? Want patience? Well, how many of you want to suffer long? Back in church years ago, they say, whatever you do, don't ever pray for patience. Why, Carrie? Who knows the scripture? She said it's going to try you. Daryl said, tribulation worketh patience. So when you're praying for patience, you're asking God to bring tribulation in your life. Everybody's like, oh, no. No, no, no. Not enough tribulation. We'll wait on the patience. I should have put that last, right, Jim? I did put it the highest up on the right side. Love, joy. Say again, Julie.
Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the will of God.
There you go. When you understand it, it's a good thing, isn't it, Julie? Love, joy, peace.
Gentleness.
Oops. Is that close enough, Walker?
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness.
Goodness.
Temperance. What's temperance? What is long suffering?
Marriage.
Marriage. That's the tribulation that teaches you patience, right? Michelle says. Plus two kids named Ethan and Hunter. They'll work it too. Temperance. What is that, Walker?
Self-control.
That's it. And you say goodness?
Yep.
What else? Two more. Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, and?
Faith.
How many of you have ever eaten of a tree called the tree of life and received faith? Let me break that down for you. How many of you have ever heard a man or a woman speak the word of God and you receive that and it become your faith? There you go. Now you've eaten of a tree of life and you have faith. Let's see how many Bible scholars there really are out there. Righteousness. How do you know it's righteousness, though?
Because the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life.
The fruit of the righteousness of the tree of life? Righteousness is a fruit, isn't it? Where does it come forth from? But the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that do what? That make peace? Look it up, Walker.
Yeah.
That make peace. So do these fruits of the Spirit, all 12 of them, oh, you know what else? There's leaves on here. The leaves were for the healing of the nations, weren't they? Yep. This is an awesome tree, isn't it? Do you know what waters this tree, Daryl? You and I have talked about it before. A fountain of life. A river of life. It does, huh? So everything about this tree brings forth life. What about that other tree? What about that one that Adam ate of? Think about this seriously. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was the result of not believing God, Keith, what was best for you or Adam? First of all, Lori, it caused them to be separated. God said the truth that in the day you eat of, you shall surely die. So what mind came forth from not obeying God, being disobedient, following Adam's own lust and his own desires, what mind did Adam now have to deal with? For to be carnally minded is death. God said, when you eat of this tree, the fruit of that tree is going to cause you to be carnally minded. Now you know plainly why you sit here today and think the way that you think. Because there's another desire. There's a desire that's not a tree of life. There's a desire to do something that God has said would not be good to do. And if you want to be honest, every single one of it have it within our spirit. We have the desire to eat of a tree that will put us in death, and we already have. But praise God, where's the last place that God talks about this tree of life, Walker? What does he say? Give me Revelation 2 and 7.
It says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
To he that overcometh will I give the right. Carrie, you had the right once, and we made the wrong choice because of lust. Don't miss out on this right again because of another lust and another desire. Make sure as God reveals to you his will, and I didn't even get into all of this, but you know the Bible says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick? Last week or last time I was here, not last week, Daryl, didn't it say that we know not what to pray for as we ought? And it teaches us in Romans 8, 26 and 27 that this is an infirmity. This is a sickness within our spirit. We don't know how to pray. We don't know what to ask for as we ought to ask. And this is how I'm going to end it here today. But what's the hope that we have? What is the expectation that we have and can put on God? A good one, I'm saying. That it's the Spirit. I'm quoting from or paraphrasing from the same place of Romans 8, 26 and 27. The Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought. And it's the Spirit that searches what? The heart, or the Spirit again. And what does he do? He makes intercession for the saints, because it is the Spirit that has the mind of God and knows the very will of God. So when you're seeking the will of God and you're seeking what you should be doing for God or what God's asking for you, don't look without. Go into your spirit and let God's Spirit reveal that to you. And your prayer from the Holy Ghost, your prayer from the comfort of the Spirit of truth will put you smack dab in the middle of the will of God. And you will fulfill the will of God. Otherwise, you could find yourself being curious, huh? Looking elsewhere for something else. Is that what Adam did? Think about this. Here's where the questions come. Lori, why did God say not to eat of the other tree? Why can't I have this, Jennifer? Why can't I have that? People question and tempt God all the time, Rex. If God's so good, then why? Why is this the way it is? Why is there handicap in the world? Why do children die at birth? Why do they die in the womb? All that questioning is you eating of the wrong tree instead of just saying, God, thy will be done. And I may not understand everything, Travis, but you do. And I'm waiting to hear your will for my life. That prayer, that thankfulness of knowing God, it's funny because we would never say out loud, God, you don't know what you're doing. But in our actions, we do it all the time, don't we? We're like, being a little Pharisee, Julie, honoring God with our lips, but our heart is far from him. In reality, if we'd be thankful and see and understand that God knows what he's doing and that he's prepared a better thing for us than we have ever imagined, because I'm going to end with this. The more I spend time in the Spirit, like the dream I told you about Elijah, and I've experienced a similitude of Adam, many dreams, watching God create all that he has created. The more time I spend in the Spirit, the greater the desire comes of God. Any questions? Any thoughts? Julie?
Stirring up my heart preaching, Brian. It's reminding me, I'm so thankful about the parable of the sower, the thorny ground. And the thorny ground is when the seed was choked by those thorns. And it says it's the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things choke the word, and it doesn't become fruitful. Well, the Lord's starting to shine a light on that, that, you know, you can have all this desire for God, and it be wrong, Brian, the wrong desire.
It could be.
And it chokes it. You could read the Bible all the time. You can tithe. You can go to Bible studies, and you can read the scripture and meditate it in a wrong desire, and then it won't bring forth fruit. That's what those Pharisees, like you were saying, do, and it stops the heavens. It shuts them up.
Yeah, it's interesting because I was going to put this in there. When I put a law on myself to read the Bible, even though I did that, it did increase my desire for the things of God. I loved it, but God went with me when I kept every commandment that he gave me. Physically, like Julie said, praying, being at church, paying tithes, you name it. I, in the beginning, said I need to do those things, and I did them. But why? Why do you do what you do? Did I do them because I wanted to be rich? I had already had a lot of money. I wasn't happy at all. Keith, I did them because I loved God. Because when I went that day and I laid everything on the table and overwhelmed that pastor there in Farmersville, God reached deep down in my heart and he changed something. It's like Christy talked about last week. He changed me from the inside out. And you know what it did, Carrie? I didn't understand everything. I became so thankful because God did something nobody else could ever do for me. No offense, no family, no friends, no girlfriend, no anybody could do what God did for me that day, Lori. And even though I did things under a law, God took that and placed a desire in my heart and kept it going from that day till present time. And I am so thankful, Lori. I'm looking at Jennifer and I'm saying, Lori, I am so thankful for that day and the work that God has performed. And it may have started with a physical conversation to some people's mind, but Keith, it was my heart. It was my spirit. And God began to allow me to partake of this very tree I drew on the board for you, the tree of life. And in my meditation while I was gone, I wanted to emphasize that to you. The more time you spend in the spirit, the greater the desire will come. And I'm talking about this desire right here. Keith, did you want the microphone?
Yeah. Brian, you look at that old man to a new man. That's the way I see this. That old man had that pride. That old man had that Israel thought. And then God started creating that new man. Mm-hmm. And he started giving you the desire. And it's God, like you said, it is God's desire. And it's a change. It's a creating to that new man.
Amen.
And there's no looking back. All things are passed away. Amen.
Yes.
All things. You don't even want that old life. You don't want that old desire. Because look what it where it got us, man.
Yeah.
It was death. It was torment. It was hell, bro.
It was.
And you see this, and you see God working and giving you love and peace. There, it's priceless, bro. There ain't nothing you can't put a price on this.
I agree, brother. That's some good preaching right there. I love that. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new, don't they? And we're talking about your heart. We're talking about your spirit, the way that you think. We may still look the same, and a lot of people not know the difference. But you get in the spirit, see what's in my spirit, and I can see what's in your spirit, you'll know exactly what God's done. And he's doing a great work. Amen? God bless you guys. Thank you for coming today. It's so good to be back and be back with you. You have a great day. We'll see you soon, okay?